This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Olive Podcast. I'm Janine, Olive's deputy editor and podcast host, and each episode I'll be catching up with chefs, cookery writers, and characters from the food scene in Britain and beyond. Join us each week to expand your food knowledge as our guests share 10 things we need to know about the specialist subject. And do listen out for our effortless bonus episodes where they also reveal their top cooking cheats, hacks, and shortcuts. I'm delighted to welcome Ian Ryan to the podcast today. Ian is the brains behind viral Instagram account Shit London Guinness, which has over 230,000 followers and documents the worst pints of Guinness served up in the capital. And there's some real shockers there. In 2020, he set up a sister account, Beautiful Pints, which readdresses the balance by posting the very best pints from all over, but in fairness, mostly Ireland. Welcome, Ian.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming today.
No, glad to be here.
We are actually sitting in a pub in Finsbury Park, which serves a decent pint of Guinness, I'd say. The 12 pins.
Only place for it.
Yeah. Because Ian actually has a day job as well, so he couldn't make it down to the podcast studio. First of all, could you just tell us a little bit about how you came to set up both of your Instagram accounts?
Yes. So, funnily enough, I only started drinking stout when I moved to the UK.
Okay.
So I'm here over five years. I started drinking about 5 years ago, and then after a year between, I used to go back and forth between Ireland and London a good bit. I noticed that the pints were substandard in London, and I kind of have had experience before running kind of meme accounts on Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of stuff, and I thought it might be just a complete brainwave one day. I just said maybe I'll set up an account that just kind of focuses on bad pints of Guinness in London.
Yeah.
Didn't quite expect it to take off as much.
There's obviously a lot of hate there.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those things where people think, like, you know, like someone has some mad idea and you just think, God, how has no one thought of that before?
Yeah.
I think it was kind of one of those kind of ones where you're like, oh yeah, there is actually, the pints in London actually aren't great.
there's something kind of compelling about it, because I came across it completely by accident. And if anyone hasn't seen the Instagram account, it's just literally pints of Guinness in, you know, the wrong glass, plastic glasses. I mean, it's, some of them are horrific. It actually causes me pain, and I'm not a massive like drinker of Guinness, but just to look at it compared to what a beautiful pint of Guinness is, it is. Yeah.
The pint of Guinness is like so well known to look a certain way, so that when even a Guinness drinker sees the account and they don't, you know, and it's like, that looks off.
Yeah,
it shouldn't have fuzz on the head of the pint or, you know, whatever.
But 200,000, I mean, how did you get to that from just setting it up? That's madness.
Yeah, it feels mad to have that many followers on the account. I never thought it would get to that point. I think when I set it up, I always thought it would be like, you know, maybe I'll post on it every few weeks, you know, if I have a bad point out in the pub or whatever, and it kind of turned into something that blew up quite a bit, and then ended up being like a, you know, I sell t-shirts and all that thing, so like a little businessy kind of thing for me, and grown to where it is now. I never thought it would get to that point, but it just kind of grew. You know, you have these kind of, when you kind of run an account like that, you kind of got these moments where it's a bit, it goes a bit viral or whatever for whatever reason, and then the numbers keep shooting up kind of thing.
Did I read that Jamie Dornan actually like gave you a big up on some show on
TV
or something?
Yeah, very, very strange. I did not like, it's funny because he had followed me, and someone messaged me, because, you know, if you don't follow someone, basically, if you don't follow someone, then you're not going to see them come up following you. So I hadn't been following Jamie Dornan off the account.
Yeah.
I don't follow that many people off the account. And I had friends say, like, you know, Jamie Dornan is following you. Like, because he just followed me.
Hollywood
on the account.
Superstar just casually following you.
I was like, that's mad. And how did it go then? I noticed he'd been following me, and being the kind of pure marketing man I am and selling t-shirts and stuff, I messaged him and I said, thanks for following me. Can I send you a jumper to your assistant or, you know, whoever manages your incoming mail?
Yeah.
And he sent me back a selfie of him wearing one.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, love yes. It. And then within a couple of months, he was on the Graham Norton show, speaking about the account, being like, oh, there's some legend from Cork called Ian.
Yeah.
Which was a great moment for me and my family. You know, it's like all the cousins you never heard of messaging
you.
Great one on the Graham Norton show. Like, oh, cheers.
Great marketing for Jamie Dornan as well. And I love that, the fact that it kind of, because actually I was listening to, you actually got a name check from another favorite podcast of mine, Blind Boy, talking about, and
yes,
quite heavily, but he said what's lovely about it is, he didn't say lovely, he didn't use that word. But he said what's great, it brings Irish people together in this kind of, you know, universal sort of head shaking of like, what have they done to our pint?
Yeah.
But in quite a gentle way, he said it's not vicious. It's just kind of like, look, we've proved that you can't actually take the pint out of Ireland or like some people can't, because obviously there are people who can pour a good pint.
Yeah, there's some places that do have a good pint, but I totally get that, where it's like, you know, I guess it's like a, you know, kind of a universal Irish thing, like the Irish are known for spreading far and wide across the world.
Yeah.
Where we can all have a big head shake about bad pints together, you know, no matter where we've ended up.
Yeah.
But Blind Boy's a great man. He was always, very good to me over the last 5 or 6 years of being a person on the internet. He was always very nice to me with advice and stuff, so he's a great man.
That's cool. And what's the pub's reaction? If you tag a pub, do they kind of send you hate mail, DMs, like, you know, what happens when you like tag a pub in? Do you get backlash, or they kind of like use it as a step to doing it better?
I would say like the vast majority of the responses is nothing.
Really?
Which, you
they
know,
don't care.
Whatever way it's, you know, that's the neutral, I would say, just to say nothing. And Guinness's quality team go in and like give them glasses and clean out their lines and stuff.
Do they?
Yeah, they monitor the account.
Do they?
They'll go in then and like sort them out. Not like they're not going in and being like, get the Guinness out. It's more like they'll go in and like
have a word.
Not have a word, but like kind of say like, look, I'm sure you've seen you're on the account. Can we clean your lines for you? Can we take a look? You know, can we help you get it set up so that the Guinness is coming out nice? And can we give you a few glasses so that you're pouring into the right glasses and that kind of thing?
It's amazing that they've got that kind of service, that they want to kind of, you know, get to the level where it's being served properly. I mean,
yeah, like they don't want to see, you know, they don't want to see any pubs on the account, I'm sure. But, you know, because it's not really like when a pub is posted on it, like I don't want it to be like a super like shaming thing. Like,
no,
this is a bad pub and it doesn't care about its pints.
It's just a bad pint.
It's just like a bad pint can happen.
Yeah.
And like, and if there's a solution where they say, oh, something's gone wrong with the Guinness server the last couple of weeks or whatever, and we can sort it out or someone can help us sort it out.
Yeah.
Then it just means that people who drink in there are going to get a better pint. So it's not really, I don't ever see it as like a massive indictment on the pub if they're on the account.
Yeah.
You know,
but don't serve it in a San Miguel glass.
No, if you can if you can avoid that, that'd be good.
If that's your starting point.
Yeah.
Let's have a little bit more of a deeper dive into what makes a beautiful pint then. So there's various factors. Should we start with the glass? Why is a glass important?
Honestly, I don't know.
But it is important, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's not like, I'm not a Guinness expert by any means. Never claimed to be. I just ended up running a big account about Guinness. But it's something to do with like the dome, the way that the glass is domed. So like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Guinness pint glass. It's like, the milk stout glass. So yeah. I have no issue with like a stout glass that's not brand, that's not Guinness
that's
branded.
That's not Guinness branded. It's just it's the shape of the glass.
It's something to do with the way that if you're hitting a pour like at an angle,
yeah,
the way that the glass is domed, yeah, apparently it helps it get a that kind of Guinness head. Yeah. That's kind of stout head.
So it's kind of tulip shaped at the top, isn't it? It's got that like skinny bottom and then like goes fatter at the top.
Yeah.
How do you feel about temperature? Are you like, are you against the extra cold? I mean, I'm a fan of extra cold Guinness because I like cold drinks, but is that wrong?
Am I
going to Guinness jail? in Ireland?
Apparently, rumor has it that Guinness cold was put in because, like many years ago, because they knew that the Guinness wasn't going to be coming, like, because basically just go back to Guinness, I suppose. Yeah. The Guinness tastes best when it's poured quite frequently out of the taps,
yeah,
where it's not sitting there for too long or whatever,
yeah.
But I think when it's a bit, when that's that bit colder, you don't really quite taste if it's been sitting in the lines
really?
Or whatever.
Oh God, I've been like, yeah.
No, but I think I actually have no issue Guinness. I mean, I live here for five years, so like I've drank plenty of cold Guinness. but if I do get the option, I will go for the like normal tap.
So
you call it, over here you call it the normal tap. There's a few pubs right in London that'll do the normal tap.
Yeah.
I don't really like mind too much. Like the pub right now does only
cold Guinness.
Just
it's
cold
nice.
Guinness. It's fine. It's just the way it is. You just kind of get used to it. Like.
Yeah. I watched some videos today of the pour. So like it's a two-step pour, isn't it? That's the thing. Is a two-step pour that? That's important, isn't it? Come on, you should have done.
Yeah,
that.
I know. I've been asked this question so many times, like about the pour. I think like the point of the pour is it's not like any sort of like magic ritual, but it's more like to get it to the point where you have that like domed head on the pint that like makes it stay longer and that kind of like stay longer on the pint as you drink it,
okay.
So you're not losing the head. So like I've often been in the pub and for the first couple of pints, they'll do the two-pair pour and it'll be like a nice pint or whatever and it'll taste great. And the head will kind of maintain true drinking it. But then I feel like when you get a pint that you know has been single-pair poured, you're not going to quite like, the head will die a bit quicker.
Yeah. So is the idea that the head stays all the way down to the bottom of the glass?
Yeah, like you're going to want some semblance of the kind of like foamy bit, for lack of a better word. Like you'd want the bit of head kind of going through it. Because I think if you're halfway through a pint of Guinness and the head's completely gone, you're going to be asking
sort
of a question.
You're drinking a bad, yeah, because I saw that as well. I was going to ask you about the dome. I didn't know this. You know, I've been researching it. I've been watching videos. But so it's like 45 degree angle, pour 3/4. I could go work in a pub now. I used to work in a pub. then let it settle, then top it up, and which gives you that lovely like dome on the top, which does look beautiful. I mean, if you go and look on your beautiful pints, Instagram compared to like shit London Guinness, it's just the difference. You kind of you start to see it. It starts to become quite hypnotic.
Yeah, like I feel like whenever anyone asks me, like, you know, what makes a pint Guinness bad? What makes it good? Like, I just go like, look at the two accounts and you'll figure it out, you know, like kind of what the standard is and why, what pints do or what pubs are doing to make it not beautiful.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other players in the game because you're from Cork. The last time I went to Cork, Beamish was heavily featured and I found out that's because that's where Beamish comes from.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there rivalry? Do people like to stake there, you know, one or the other? Is there
in Cork, I would say that it's a battle between Guinness Murphy's and Beam
Murphy's as well.
Murphy's as well, yeah. Murphy's, it's funny, like Murphy's is more of a West Cork drink, but it's drank throughout the county, but out in the countryside, like more towards like West Cork, Murphy's would be the one. So if you get to West Cork, you'll drink Murphy's, but if you're in the city, you might drink Beamish. And then Guinness are always trying to get involved, you know. Obviously, like they must. I'm not sure what the split is, but I would say it's fairly even.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like when I go home, like all the lads drink Beamish because they're from Cork. Do you know what I mean?
So you would choose Beamish. I guess you wouldn't have a choice if you walked in a pub and that's all they had on the taps.
Some pubs don't sell Guinness. Like, yeah. They'll just sell Beamish. Yeah. It's a bit cheaper than Guinness.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, I like Beamish, I like Guinness.
Yeah.
So I might mix it up a bit. But yeah, definitely, I think it's Cork specifically that is that county that has like the kind of like rival stouts.
What's the most you've ever been charged for a pint of Guinness in London?
Oh, God. I don't know. I think maybe somewhere around Old Street, I think I got a pint for like 6.90 or something, 6.97 quid. Yeah. It's kind of getting that way up around Shoreditch, which is somewhere I'm not regularly drinking pints in. It's not really my favorite spot in London. But like, you know, so many people work around there. Do you end up in Shoreditch sometimes? Yeah. And you're just kinda
it's a bit cursed. Of a shocker though, isn't it? You just think.
Yeah. It's. I feel like they're getting like... They're just getting more expensive every time I go to the pub.
I just wanted to talk about some myths. So my husband, when I first met him, told me that 2 pints of Guinness is the equivalent to roast dinner. Have you heard that one?
I've heard something like that, you know, where it's like, yeah, a pint of Guinness is like
nutritionally. I don't think
it is. Yeah, it's like... Yeah, it gets you all the nutritional value, your iron levels or whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it as a meal replacement.
As a roast dinner replacement. And my grandma used to say that they'd give it to you when you were convalescent in a hospital. I think that might be true, though. But maybe that's just a joke.
Did they have a tap?
I don't know, like for the iron or something?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a bit about, I know you're obviously a big fan of pubs. What for you makes the perfect pub?
God, it's hard to say. I like a pub where you could sit at the bar and not feel like, why am I up at the bar? Does that make sense?
So yeah, it does. My dad was a sit at the bar man. He would never or stand. He wouldn't.
Yeah.
When we used to make him sit at a table, he just used to get really fidgety, like he couldn't handle it. He was like, he liked to prop up the bar with a pint.
It's funny because I actually never do it, right? But yeah. I like the option. I feel like having the option is what it makes me like a pub where I go, I might be sitting here with a couple of lads, but I could come in here and go up at the bar and have a pint and have a chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like a pub that like isn't like doesn't take itself too seriously, you know. Yeah. That isn't like trying to be the hip hop happening place and you know, I like a pub that shows a bit of sport. Maybe it's like my predisposition to Irish pubs. But I like, you know, if you're having a pint, you can come in at like a night like tonight and watch the Champions League or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what do you think there's a big difference between an Irish pub and an English pub?
No, not necessarily at all. I don't think so. Like it's not necessarily like it's not like I don't like solely go to Irish pubs because I'm Irish, but I just feel like I love you know, plenty of English pubs that are like similar in vibe. It's just like I like a local feel to a pub.
Yeah.
Where I feel like if I lived around the corner, I'd come here. That's what I like about it.
So like a proper local. So basically somewhere that you go in and you kind of recognize a bar staff.
Yeah.
And
you can kind of say, oh, how are you?
Oh, how are you? Yeah.
Like, and they go, oh, do you want a Guinness? And you go, that kind of thing.
Of course I want a Guinness.
Or something you have to say, I might have a wine tonight.
Both of your Instagram accounts are all about the Guinness or the Beamish. Is there anything else that you cheat on Guinness with, drinks-wise, and what is it?
Yeah, I really... It's funny, I actually just came back from Spain a few weeks ago with the lads, and I was drinking loads of red wine there.
Oh,
and
nice.
I never really was a red wine man, but since then, we've been having a few bottles of red wine in the gaff, and it's been very nice. Before then, we used to drink a bit of white wine, a bit of Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh, nice.
Which is very hard to say with an Irish accent.
When I listened to the Blind Boy podcast about Guinness, he was saying that Irish people drinking wine is like, I'm growing up now.
Yeah, yeah. I think that is
Do you
definitely,
feel that?
Yeah, that is absolutely subconsciously it.
Because you've touched on it really gently before, but you had like quite a big account when you were much younger.
Yeah.
And it was called Humans of Sesh.
Humans
right?
of the Sesh.
Humans of the Sesh, which was it based on Humans of New York?
So it started off based on Humans in New York, and we used to just take the photos from that and write like little stories about sessions or whatever.
And something about a big bag of cans.
Big bag of cans. Lads with a big bag. Yeah, of that cans. Was like the big meme of 2017. Should have capitalized it when I was so on it, but we were too young.
God, you were like, you've gone viral like so many times.
Humans are so funny because like it was massive at the time. Like we had like 600K on Facebook. If you think about that in pure numbers, which is madness. And it's still there. Like you can still look at it, but we just don't post anything.
And it was just, lads with a big bag of cans.
Yeah, so we just do like little like satirical posts, and we used to do like the odd like video people would send in, and then like just memes about drinking or whatever. But it's, definitely there's a big contrast between that and Shit London Guinness, where like probably, as Blind Mike probably put it in his podcast, like Sesh, the Humans of the Sesh was like, you know, absolute like madness, you know, student madness or whatever. And then London Guinness Count is like us with a nice pint in the pub.
Pint, like reflecting, chatting, getting together with mates.
Yeah, go home at 11:30, have a kebab and go to bed.
And what have you got? What's happening this year? Have you got anything coming up? Because I know you've got like you mentioned it. You've got loads of merch and stuff, which is really nice. On your, have you got any plans to do anything with the account or events?
No, you know,
new t-shirts,
maybe beanies. I got new beanie colors. Probably just more stuff with the merch. Kind of contemplating what else I can do with the account because we're going into. In November, it'll be 4 years since I started it.
Does it feel like quite a big responsibility, you know, having this account that you've got so many followers? And
I wouldn't say so because it's just a silly
account. And it's mad, though. It's like 230,000. I mean, people would claw for that, you know.
I do. I guess I feel like a certain sense of responsibility sometimes where, like, I try not to post, like, photos with, like, the bar staff in it or anything. You know, like, I don't post anything like that because I feel like it's such a big account. I need to be mindful of what
I do
it is.
Think you're, you know, quite. I mean? It's exactly what you said before, though. I do think you're quite gentle in terms of you're posting. You know, on the main account, you're posting like badly poured pints of Guinness, but you're not really like trying to take down the pub. You're just going look at this and you know and as you said, like loads of pubs react to that and then get kind of sorted out basically because. Yeah.
I've had plenty of pubs being like, you know, a few weeks on being like, come down, the pints are
really?
Great now, you know. and I never do because I feel good. Like I'm not going to come down and be like, I'm here for my free pints because I have called you out on my account. But, you know, I've been to a few pubs that have been on it and, you know, afterwards and not being like, by the way, it's me, whatever. But and the pints have been good. And, you know, there's a couple of pubs that have been on the bad pints account that are now on the good pints account.
Oh, that's which amazing. Is great. So which is probably the whole
that's probably the, you know, the whole joy of the account. Get to that point. That.
Well, I'm gonna make you tell us all of your favorite pubs on the bonus episode so people can listen out for that. But thanks so much for coming to chat to us today, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
It's been lovely. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Olive Podcast. For more information, head to olivemagazine.com and look out for our Love Your Local campaign online and on our social channels, where we'll be highlighting pubs we love and sharing our favourite recipes from them. You can also share your own favourite pubs with the hashtag OliveLoveYourLocal, and we'll include them in our roundups.